Okay, here we go, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We are hoping that our technology holds up. It almost did today with the the Mayor's Roundtable, and we actually got the video in, but, we had some technical problems, and Bill and I didn't get on, but the mayors did. We had seven mayors. If you are perusing the website, MSO News Sports, check it out. Seven mayors on today talking about their responses here in the North Shore area to COVID. And my great appreciation to all the mayors who were on today. Tim Kearns is with us, by the way. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Rick.
Doing good. And I just want to say that we had the mayor of Amesbury on. She's a delightful young woman. We had her name is Cassandra Gove. We had Beverly's Mayor Mike Cahill, Gloucester's Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken, who took over hosting duties in my stead because I couldn't get on. Dan Rivera from Lawrence, we got to meet Mayor Rivera. He was tremendous online, and I had always heard good things about him. Mayor Ted Betancourt, I didn't get to see Mayor Betancourt, but we've had great relationship with him. Mayor Kim Driscoll also was on. And Tom McGee from Lynn was participating as well. It was great to have them on. They talked among each other. They talked about the common responses that there are across cultures, across everybody here on the North Shore, plus the unique responses that each city has had. And, of course, that includes sports. So I don't know if you had a chance to take a look, Tim, but we had seven mayors on today, and I'm very grateful for their participation. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, avoiding large crowds, wearing my mask, keeping my distance. You know, so it's all you can do, and just hope that there are enough other people out there, again, as I say every week, that, you know, follow the guidelines. The only way to beat this thing is to follow the guidelines and not be foolish. But unfortunately, there are many more foolish people than we like to see.
Around here, I'm not so sure, though. I mean, I walk every other day. I run every other day. When I run, it's an isolated route. I'm hearing static. I just want to make sure it's not overwhelming. And when I walk, it's a popular, you know, it's through Gloucester, mainly through downtown and on the causeway. I mean, on the boulevard and so on. And I got to tell you, today I was walking back almost at the end of my walk, and there were two people, I don't want to say they were young, but they certainly weren't old. And they're maybe 100 yards from me, and they're walking down the sidewalk. I'm on the same sidewalk. And as I'm starting to get my mask on, because there's no way to go, I mean, if I can walk away from people without putting the mask on, I do that, but I couldn't this time. I started to put it on, and I saw them put theirs on way before I put mine on. And, you know, Tim, I actually waved to them, and I said, thank you. And they said, you're welcome, and thank you. So it was kind of a new norm, I guess, a new cultural thing.
Well, yeah, a lot of the people in Massachusetts get it. I was up in New Hampshire today, and you know, the old motto, live free and die, you know, is one that they like to go by. And I've been a lot of places that, you know, they just don't wear it. But at the business that I stopped at, everybody that I saw going into the store was wearing or putting on a mask. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, that people are being, at least around here, they're being sensible.
I know, and as I said, I just appreciated it, and whether it's really meaningful or not, I guess the numbers are proving out that it is, but it's still, it takes an effort to do that, and I do appreciate when other people do it, so I have to do that as well. Tonight, Coach, we have a pretty good lineup. We're going to start off with Dale Dunbar. He's the Winthrop High School hockey coach. He's also an NHL agent, and we're going to check in with him about the NHL playoffs in the bubble up north. Later in the second half hour, we'll check in with Mike Grenier, who's going to talk about the Celtics and the NBA playoffs in the bubble down south. And in between, we're going to talk with Brian LaFada, who's the Gloucester High School Director of Athletics, but he may have some information on the meeting today. I guess there was a big meeting among the states and the state education personnel and so on as to more about what sports will look like in this fall. And it's looking more and more, if you check out our sports video with the Salem News sports writers that we have right here on our website, right here on this post, It's looking more and more like football is not going to be happening in the fall. They continue to postpone it, so keeping it alive maybe for winter or maybe for spring. But it looks like high school football ain't happening. But we'll check in with Coach LaFada and see what happens. And then also Gary Larrabee, and I know you've been brushing up on getting ready for Gary. Lots going on in the golf world. I missed the PGA last week, Tim, when we were on vacation? Okay, so we'll, might want to review that. I don't know, but Gary has his agenda, of course, as always. So, Coach, what? What happened?
Gary has his agenda.
Well, it's Gary's show. I ain't messing with that. Would you?
No, I'm just along for the ride.
No, me too. Are you kidding me? Ain't nobody knows more about it than he does. So what catches your eye, Tim? Patriots full pads practice today. They picked up two tight ends and a guard. Celtics open up their playoffs tonight as we speak in the bubble down south. Bruins playing later on tonight in the bubble up north. And the Red Sox are just, they're just adrift.
They certainly. Where do you start with the Red Sox, really? You know, the two best hitters are guys they picked up in the offseason. The guys who were the mainstays of the offense the last couple of years are contributing very, very little. The pitching is it's like the no-name brand going into an off-price store on the shelf. They're just picking up these guys with no names. You turn it on, and it's like, okay, we don't have a starter. We have an opener. And then we're going to go to the bullpen.
You know, Tim, but what happened between, and we only got a couple of minutes here. I want to go to Coach Dunbar. Remember a couple of years ago we had millions spent on these starters? We had the best. Remember going into one season they could go 162-0 because we have five, you know, aces in the starting lineup? What the hell happened?
Well, they got hurt. They got traded, you know. That's the extent of it, and the guys that they've picked up to take their place are journeymen at best, or rookies. You know, it's like a who's who. You need a program to figure out who the hell is pitching at any one time for the Red Sox, and even the players in the field. My God, you do need a program to call this team.
I don't know who they are.
Like,
I know
guys like who. You know, it is like the Abbott and Costello comedy skit.
Yeah, really?
Who's on first?
Yeah.
One's on second. I don't know who's on third. Okay.
And what makes it worse is the Yankees are doing so well.
Oh, their record is the complete opposite.
I
heard the stat the other night that the Red Sox gave up more runs in the last five games than Cleveland and the Dodgers had given up so far this season.
Okay.
How's that for discussing and telling you all you need to know about the Red Sox?
Well, I'll tell you what. I guess if they're going to have a bad season, you might as well do it when nobody can go to the ballpark because they won't lose any more money than they're already losing.
That's true.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Dale Dunbar. This is North Shore Sports Night on tomorrow night. Coach Ben Goodhue, hope you're doing well, brother, and thank you so much for supporting us, as always. We'll be right back.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors, like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.
All right, we are back now, and very happy to be joined by Winthrop High School NHL agent Dale Dunbar. And Coach, welcome back to MSO. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. I don't know how Tim is.
Rick, do you really care? That's what I want to know. Do you really care?
Well, I don't know. This long distance stuff is something else. Coach, you know, before we get into the playoffs and stuff, yeah, talking hockey, and I appreciate your coming by again this year, although it's probably, two, 3 months later than it ordinarily would be. Did you get a chance to talk to your seniors from your hockey team as spring, when everything closed down and the kids did not get to go to the graduations and stuff? Did you get to talk with any of them before everything shut down?
Not before, but moving on, we just had, I can't really call it a banquet. It was more of an award ceremony in a parking lot. We did it on Sunday morning. Finally, we were able to get the okay to have that. Just a real bad send-off. Nothing traditional, nothing, everything on the fly. The parents were there, the kids were there. We made it as good as possible. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're in a parking lot handing out trophies this senior year, and it was just not right.
I know. It hurts, and I know how much you care for the kids and how much you've worked with them, and, you know, this is something that maybe somewhere down the line we can make up for it somehow. I don't know. And it'll be special, for the kids, but, it's brutal. Now,
yep.
You know, Dale, let's get it. Hold on, I just want to check on this. I've got some static on the line that I'm trying to get off here. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. All right, I guess we can live with that. So, the Bruins now, we gotta start with Tuukka Rask. What's your opinion, Coach? Because I've read different things, and I know that Tuukka Rask he seems to be a very sensitive man, a very family-oriented man, and he said about a week ago that his head just wasn't in it. The Bruins supporting him on this?
Well, it's a good thing, I'm sure they are. I mean, no matter what, we're not in their locker room, we're not, in the organization, we don't know what's really transpiring there. We're reading media outlets, social media. Everything gets twisted, as we know. So, the Bruins are coming out and respect him, and it's different times. I mean, everybody's hanging it up in football, because of their families and have a newborn and everything that's happening there. I mean, granted, these guys have started the playoffs, they're in the bubble, they're not sure everybody's a good family and their kids, but that's for their personal reasons that he made the decision he had to make, and it is what it is. You can't dwell on it. And I thought it was a great comment by the coach the other day when he said, listen, I'm not worried about the players that are out of the lineup. I'm worried about the players that are in the lineup.
Right, right.
It's so true. I wouldn't say it's going to be a rallying cry by any means, but it's something you have to deal with. And some people are going to have their own, opinion, especially with players on it. But we don't know the real reason. I mean, he is a sensitive guy, and he does say things. For him to come out the other day to say his head wasn't really in it, I mean, that was mind-boggling. I mean, you're going to win a Stanley Cup. Granted, it's not the traditional way, but it's still the cup at the end of the day, and you want to win it, especially in the twilight of your career.
I know, and I think, at that level of competition, Coach, to be that competitive when you guys, to get to your level that you were at and that these guys are at, it is kind of, you use the word mind-boggling, because the competition just sort of, the competitiveness rises above everything else. I mean, hell, if you guys play hearts or if you play, a game of tag, you just want to win. So.
Absolutely. But it's, it is a crazy time. I mean, you're not going home after winning a series. You're not seeing your family, if you're playing at home, everything is just all, untraditional. It's crazy. And, you're going to get to really know your teammates very well, especially if you go all the way. But it's, it is what it is. And they have to move forward and play through it. And there's still other guys in that lineup
He's got hurt and been out for the series too, so you got to treat it that way. The next guy out.
Before I let Tim pick your brain here, what do you see with the Bruins? Because obviously, what are they up 2-1? They're playing tonight, but Pastrnak's not been playing. And cheapers, you got Pastrnak gone, you got Rask gone. Those are your two.
Yeah, and they're still finding a way to win.
Yeah,
I mean it's and again, that's where your role players come in. That's why you have to have depth. That's why you have to have secondary scoring, goaltending, everything that happens. So, if you're not scoring or if you have injuries that, you have the depth to be able to sustain and play the tight game, which it's going to be, you're going to be a lot of one-goal hockey games, and you're just going to make sure you're managing the puck well and not turning it over in the critical areas of the ice and staying out of the box. And hopefully your goaltender can make the big timely save.
Tim, you got something for a coach?
Yeah, coach. Back to Tuukka. Just one question. Now, a lot of people that I've talked to, their frustration is, why didn't he opt out before? Why did he go into the camp? And Halak is sort of sitting there second fiddle. He's getting some reps, but then 3 games in, Tuukka goes, I don't want to be here now. I got to get home. And that's all understandable, but. Didn't you want to do that before? Did you not have this in the back of your mind, this fear that you might not do it and go and talk to the, to the powers that be and say, listen, I just don't feel comfortable?
Yeah, I mean, it is, again, it is mind-boggling in a lot of ways. I mean, it's in the middle of a series. The series didn't even complete. And then the comments that he made and I was even watching the game saying, boy, he just doesn't look into it. I mean, he looks very lackadaisical, like it's just a scrimmage. And it's almost like that's the way he was treating it, because it's not a real atmosphere, which, those comments are really, really troublesome. So I put it this way, it might be the best thing right now for the team, because I would rather have somebody in there that's going to compete and try to win you the cup than to just go through the motions, even though he is one of the best in the game. But you're right. I mean, if you didn't want to be there, probably should have made that move earlier than later. But, they got to find a way. They got to create a way. They've still got some real, obviously, top-end players in that team. But it comes down to goaltending and special teams a lot of these games. And we'll see how the goaltending holds up.
What catches your eye so far, Dale, in terms of the playoffs, either the Bruins or things in general?
I'm just amazed still at the speed. These guys are, they're not in mid-season form by any means, and this game is fast. I'm watching Colorado right now. My kid Nieto, who I have from BU, he scored the first goal. This Colorado team, if they stay healthy, wow, I just don't know who can beat them. They've got two number one goalies. Their defense is very deep, and they're forward. I mean, they got four lines that can throw at anybody. They're going to be very, very tough if they stay healthy. But I think the NHL's done an amazing job at being able to even play these playoffs. It's been fun to watch hockey. I mean, if you're a hockey junkie, you're watching it pretty much when you get up to it until you go to bed. So it's great that way. But I'm just amazed at the speed still. I mean, they're still making great plays, and the goaltenders are making some, unbelievable saves. So I think it's been great. And hats off to the NHL for getting this done. And, I talked to my players, and I just texted Zach Bogosian with Tampa Bay. They won. He's, they're bored. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's only so much you can do in that bubble.
Right.
But let's face it. I mean, in your career, you're trying to win a Stanley Cup, and that's what they're doing, no matter what the times call for. So they're in. They're all in. They're trying to win, get a ring, and move forward.
Coach, always appreciate your expertise, man, and checking in with us, giving us a different angle. Can we call you next week, Dale, while this stuff is still going on?
Absolutely.
I love it.
Oh, whenever you guys want, we'll talk to you guys.
I love it. All right, stay safe, Coach. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. See you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Okay.
That is Dale Dunbar, who is the Winthrop High School hockey coach. He's also an NHL agent and always gives me the real expert eye on things that I, as a fan, just had no idea about. All right, I'm going to take a break, and we'll come back. We'll check in with the director of athletics at Gloucester High School, Brian LaFada. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All righty, we are live with the Gloucester High School Athletic Director, Brian LaFada. And Coach, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. And I know Tim is somewhere. Where are you, Tim? You're somewhere here on the North Shore, right?
I'm in Beverly, Rick.
Oh, in Beverly. Oh, okay. I knew you were somewhere here. I have the number, but I don't know what the thing is. So Brian, I don't know. The big question to ask you is where are things? The Salem News sports writers were talking over the weekend. We've got them up there now. It looks like there's going to be a modification of sports, perhaps in the fall, maybe not. Football looks like it's on the shelf. What are you hearing? How do you look at it?
It's still a big question mark right now. This week should be a telling week. I understand today that DESE representatives met with the MIAA COVID task force that's obviously been put together since about May, I believe, maybe even early April, late April, to go over plans, but nothing's been released. And from here, I now believe the task force meets with the board of directors of the MIAA on Wednesday. So as of right now, we have no insight. It's very tough. We have lots of our student athletes and families and coaches. Everybody's asking what's going on. And it doesn't matter what sport, from football to the less contact and more safe, you would think, like a golf or cross country. Everything is, we have no real insight on it. And we just, it's a waiting game at this point.
What's the deal in terms of school in Gloucester, Brian? Do you have any idea what opening what the opening is going to look like at the high school and when that might be? Because, we're reading different things about different school systems and different levels and everything else. I mean, it's just, to me, it's very confusing. And I just can't imagine the hoops that you're jumping through.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. For me right now, it's actually a little bit easier a lot easier, to be honest, than what the administration, the principals, the teachers, the deans, the superintendents are going through. Because I know they had to supply three different plans last week between the hybrid model, remote model, and fully back to school to the governor and DESE. And then I know Gloucester's leaning towards at this time the hybrid, where the kids would be going to school for part days, only about half the kids and everything, but they're still really working on those plans and how that is. And I know a lot of the schools in the area are leaning towards the hybrid. I think some of the more local in Cape Ann around us might be fully remote. But like I said, it's a very fluid situation for everybody, even in Salem. I know someone that's in the school system there. I think this the other day they changed from being a hybrid to a remote. So it's very hard to keep track of. I know it's very frustrating for parents and everything at this time. It's frustrating for everybody, but with so much just up in the air and so hard to answer. So we'll see what happens.
Tim?
Brian, I won't be subbing at all this year. just so you know.
Surprise.
See, that's already a loss. See, now this COVID's even worse for me. I don't see your smiling face walking down the road.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the veteran subs I know that I've talked to, that none of those guys are going to be in. So all the schools, I'm sure, are suffering the same kind of fate. One of the issues that of course COVID has brought about is keeping things sanitized. What kind of things have the ADs gotten together on as how to deal with the sanitation of equipment on a daily basis?
Yeah, to be honest, that is something else still that we're waiting on more guidelines. I mean, we know we're going to have to take it to a whole new level between, such things like if you're at a practice, we can't have shared water bottles like they would usually have, or weight room access or anything like that. We know how long it took for just even public gyms and workout facilities would open for the general public, that everything's going to be very closely scrutinized. But at this point, we're still waiting on all these guidelines that would come from DESE, the EEA, and the MIAA. So we don't have the details. We're going to have to, obviously, when we were doing our budgets for this upcoming year, it's usually about November, December when I did it last year. We weren't planning to have to buy a lot more PPE and other sort of sanitizing than we usually would. Now we're going to have to find a way to come up with some more. Hopefully the state's going to be obviously assisting the schools, and then in turn, hopefully the athletic departments, if we are having any seasons, with supplying the right amount and the whether there's signage that we need around the building for the fans or around the facilities, the stadium, if we do have any games or fans there, like spacing and whatnot. So that's part of the waiting game for it all. And like I said, it's probably going to get hit with a lot of information in one short little time span.
Yeah, one of the words, right now the football via the MIA is football is sort of like in a state of suspended animation. How is it going to impact other fall sports? Are they going to be able to get on the field as well, or are only certain sports, because there's such a lack of contact where you can space people out, they're going to allow them to go on?
That's what the big decision will be that we're waiting for, hopefully Wednesday or Thursday at the latest we might hear. Because you've got the sports, like I mentioned before, like the golf, even cross country, you can space them out some, or if the lower numbers and how many runners you might have, you might be able to pull off. I know field hockey and soccer, when the state went to phase three, did allow scrimmaging and games to happen, not large tournaments. But now it's been scaled back a little bit because of some number increases in various towns and whatnot. So I saw some regulations come out the other day, which aren't affiliated with the MIAA or anything. I'm not saying this is high school, but I think at the general youth soccer is – I saw something of getting rid of head balls, or when they're running down the field, they should have a mask on at all times. They should avoid any contact shoulder to shoulder, like jockeying for the ball, which in soccer is going to be very difficult. But as I said, I mean, that's just things at other levels. This is nothing set in stone with what they could offer other sports. So we don't know. There's been ideas thrown out that maybe a few of the sports will be able to play. Maybe some of them, the high contact, high risk, won't play now. Maybe we'll find a way to push them to later in the school year. Maybe they'll, instead of three seasons, they might do four short seasons. So there's just so many ideas. And if you're following social media, you're on Twitter and everything, you hear every idea from every person all over the state, and even all over the country, because we're watching other states in the area as well to see what they're doing.
Well, I leave that to you. I'm staying away from social media. That's why I'm calling you, Brian. So, I want to get that from you.
With less sports, I'll be honest, I'm on Twitter a lot more. There's a few of the reporters that do a great job.
They
give a lot of good insight on all these meetings the MIAA has been holding throughout the pandemic. But then at the same time, you get a lot of the comments and everything from the general public that are sometimes pretty entertaining.
Hey, Brian.
Well, Brian, the question sometimes, I'm sure that some people are throwing this out there in terms of equity. Okay, well, my son's sports can't play. How come this other kid can play? If they're gonna cancel one sport, they should cancel all the sports.
Yep, and that's one of the arguments out there, and why there's been, like I said, there's no definitive answer right now. We haven't been given guidance, and you just see all the opinions out there.
Good heavens, yeah.
Probably 25 different variations of how they should handle not only fall sports, but the whole year, because we're dealing, obviously, with the immediate fall. But then when we start talking about getting indoors for winter sports, how are things going to be handled? And individual sports have more contact than others, so... and like you said, the equity, that's just one of the other many factors that they've got to factor in and be aware of when making these decisions.
Final question, Brian. Your interaction with the kids, what are they thinking? What are they feeling?
From what I'm gathering a lot, I don't see a lot of them during the summertime quite as much, but they all just want to get back to school. They want to get, which is funny to hear, because, I mean, in a long time, kids usually are all set with going to school. They would seem more than happy to be home, but they want to get back to school. They want to play sports. They want to have some structure. And I know it's difficult. It's, I mean, obviously an unprecedented time that none of us have ever gone through, so it's hard to even to supply the right guidance. I mean, we're all trying to keep them active, but do it safely. If they're doing any voluntary out-of-season workouts, that you have masks on when need be spaced out, little things like that that sometimes to a 14 to 18-year-old kid are hard to understand, that they're like, what is this helping me for or helping everyone for? And in the long run, we're just trying to make it safe for everybody, get the numbers down, and get us in the right situation so kids can get back on the field in the schools and everything.
Coach, I appreciate what you're going through. I thank you for your time as always and your help, Brian. You've been unbelievable to us, so we appreciate it. Meantime, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks. Take care.
Take care.
All right, that is Brian Lafada, who is the Director of Athletics at Gloucester High School. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell, of course, Mr. Everything for us. We're going to take a break and come back with Gary Larrabee. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night here on MSO News Sports. We will be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our low view of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plastow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Alrighty, we're back with sports writer, sports historian, and golf writer Gary Larrabee once again. Missed last week. Gary, how are you doing?
Doing wonderful. How about you guys?
I'm doing gooder.
Very, very well.
Yeah. I missed last week, Gary. Was with the PGA, and I don't know if you wanted to mention that, but so much going on. So where would you want to start?
I think we should start with the late-breaking news, guys, from the first round of the 100th New England PGA Championship being played both in Southampton and Tedesco in Marblehead / Swampscott. And Billy Andrew from Portsmouth is leading after the first round with a 2-under 68. Defending champion Sean Warren from Falmouth is also under par at 69. They both played Tedesco, where par is 70, guys. Everyone else, you know, half the field played Tedesco, half the field played Myopia. And the low Myopia score was 2 over par 74. So the par was the fastest score in either course today. And the best score by a North Shore connected player was former Danvers resident, former number one assistant at Myopia, Dan Venezio, who's now the head pro at Portland up in Maine. He shot 70 with two other players. And we have a couple of other local players who are in, pretty much in the mix at 2 over par, which would be actually three local players. Peabody native Scott Johnson, the longtime head pro at Oakley. Frank Deli, the longtime head pro at Kernwood. And Kirk Hannafeld, the director of instruction, former director of golf at Salem. They're all 2 over after one day, all playing Tedesco. So they all shot 72. Real quickly, guys, just to give you some more scores of some local players, if you'll allow me, there's a big drop in the local performers after NFL, Deli, and Johnson at 2 over. We jump to Ben Raff, who's an assistant over at Essex. He shot 74. Tedesco 4 over, as did Ron Coro from Tedesco, Ryan Train from Tedesco. In fact, they were both four over after 9 holes, 18-hole score yet. But moving along real quickly, David Dion from Beverly, 5 over. Frank Lavaca from Ipswich, 5 over. A bunch of local guys at 6 over. Greg Kelly from Myopia. Dan Gillis, formerly from Gloucester, Gloucester boy, who's at Nabnassig late. Christian Hoker, who's an assistant at Essex. And Todd Scarafoni from Bass Rocks, they were all 6 over. Real quickly, guys, at 8 over, Nick Desjardins from Tedesco, Chris Carter from Hillview. 9 over, Phil Canetta from Sun and Air, and Steve Bramlett from Kernwood. At 10 over, the host pro at Tedesco, Jacob Leach. 12 over, David Sibley from Larry Gannon. Plus 17, the host pro at Myopia, Mike Bemis. At plus 19, Kevin Wood from Salem. Plus 22, Darren Shin alone from Rowley. They made up a record field of 159 guys earned in scores. There are 102 players slated to start. So it's a fantastic first day. The weather looks good for 2 more days. And it should be very exciting. They play half the field plays Tedesco today or tomorrow. The other half plays Myopia or Tedesco. And the third and final round playing for, I believe, a $17,000 first prize is Wednesday at Myopia. So we'll see if our local boys can stay in the mix.
Well, as they say, throwing dots, it's a good grouping. You know, everybody's in the mix. To start the day, obviously no one decided to run away with it in any kind of fashion. So it should make for a very interesting second day as they flip courses, Gary.
I think so, Tim, especially with par being such a golden score. Only 2 players under par on either course today. The scores might be a little bit lower tomorrow, Tim, because we're expecting some rain overnight, which should soften up both fairways and greens, most importantly the greens, which could give the players a chance to play a little more dot board-like approach shots, and maybe we'll see some better scoring tomorrow. But we'll see if we get some local guys beyond Kelly Hannafeld who can stay in the mix for at least 1 more day, and we'll see how it evolves. One other player worth mentioning, 2-time former champion Rich Berberian, who just came back from the PGA Championship like defending champion Sean Warren. They both missed the cut out at Harding Park, but they're both in the field. They should be expecting to play very well since they just played, you know, a very tough golf course out in San Francisco.
Kenny, were you surprised by the lack of scoring on either course today? I mean, only 2 guys under par. Did that surprise you?
No, because these are 2 of the fastest sets of greens we have on the North Shore. I think both courses are playing firm and fast like the players like it. All the best players like it there. But scores are not going to be low, guys, when the courses are firm and fast, and that includes the 2 sets of greens. That's why I anticipate the scores should be a little bit better tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, Garrett, what else is going on?
Well, I think we're all very excited about the way Rob Oppenheim, Salem-born and Andover-bred, played this weekend at the Wyndham Championship down in Greensboro, North Carolina. Rob was tied for second after 3 days. He'd never finished that high before after 3 rounds, never mind in the final. Of course, he didn't have a good day yesterday. He finished tied for 13th, shooting a 72 after shooting a 62 the previous day.
Whoa.
He needed to shoot, finish tie 8th or better to get in the field for this week's beginning of the 3-week FedEx Cup playoffs here at TPC Boston called the Northern Trust. And unfortunately, Rob didn't make it, making 3 birdies down the stretch yesterday. But he got a lot of TV time, especially on the front 9. Teed off in the last group with the leader at the time, Seru Kim. And it was a great experience for Rob. He still made $100,000. He moves up a little bit on the money list, but he unfortunately doesn't make it to the big, big payday, which is these 2 weeks. This week in New York, next week, I believe, in the Chicago area, in the third and final week, the championship 72 holes is at the East Lake down outside Atlanta.
Oh, great stuff, Gary, man. Great stuff. Woo! You got stuff lined.
Gary, got to go back to last week and the win of the young kid, young Asian kid, was it Marikawa? What a performance he put on.
Right, he looks like the next star, I think, on the PGA Tour. He won the PGA Championship a week ago yesterday, you know, with two spectacular shots on the final nine. One was a chip in and one was a drive on a short par four. That the drive landed 7 feet from the cup. He made the putt for an eagle, and he stayed in the lead the rest of the way. 23 years old, guys, a four-time All-American from the University of California. A great kid, great smile, great personality. We're not surprised he won it the third time. He's won his first major. And I think he is going to, I mean, we say it about everybody who wins their first major when they're young, but you know, Jordan Spieth has won four. Rory McIlroy, I think, has won four. Brooks Koepka has won four. But I think this Morikawa kid has the potential to win 10, 12, maybe even catch up to Tiger. And he's a great personality, a great face for golf. And we're thrilled to have him win. And while we're still talking professional golf, guys, we should give a quick congratulations to the father-son team from Frank Dully from Kernwood and his 16-year-old son, Sean, who won the New England PGA Pro and won amateur tournament last week at Plymouth, shooting a 5-under 64 on a par 69 golf course. A great thrill for Frank, obviously, as well as for Sean, the father-son story never is an old story. As I shared a few couple of weeks with you guys, when we had Kevin Daly, 51 years old, winning his record fifth straight Salem Club Championship, beating none other than his 21-year-old son Ryan, the championship match on the last hole with a par to his son's bogey. So I love father-son golf, especially when it involves winning and losing big events.
yeah. And then you can say, nope, I didn't let him win. Okay. Gary, how about this week's feature article in the Salem News?
If I may mention one more thing, Rick, before you thank you for asking. We should talk about the women's Massachusetts amateur that was played last week at Essex. We've been very blessed with all these great golfing things happening around here in big tournaments. Two 18-year-olds met in the championship match at Essex last Friday with Allison Park, Paul from Ledgemont, beating Ian Walsh from the Country Club. They're both guys going to Columbia University as incoming freshmen, and they'll both be members of the women's golf team if and when they compete again because of this darn pandemic. But they beat the two favorites with Shannon Johnson and her clubmate, Megan Buck, both from Thorny Lee, and they both got beat before the finals. And we had the youth brigade certainly dominated down the stretch and had a great final match. And even though Allison Park won rather easily, 7-6, and another great event for the North Shore. And we love all this great golf taking place around here, guys.
You're an encyclopedia, man. It's unbelievable. Great, great stuff. Thank you. And what about Friday in the paper?
Thanks for asking. I'm going to probably be talking to Rob Oppenheim tomorrow, and I think we have to talk about this great experience he had, even though it was an unfortunate finish yesterday down in Greensboro. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to Rob tomorrow, and we can talk about Rob in my column on Friday. And then next week I'll be hopefully talking about a very unique story from the New England PGA, and maybe also talking before too long about Phil Leese and marking his 15th year as the head pro at Ferncroft.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eye on that, and we will talk with you next Monday, Gary, as long as the gods allow it.
Let's look forward to it, guys. Thanks again.
Thank you, Gary.
Bye, Gary.
Oh, my goodness. Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, and just font of information. My head is spinning from all the information we just got in about a 10-minute span. We'll be back with Mike Grenier in just a second here. You're listening to MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, and let's take our final break and get a hold of Mike. We'll be back.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, capeannsavings.bank.
Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester. Now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
Hi, we're back now with Mike Grenier, and I'm interrupting the flow of things here because Mike is actually keeping his eye on a game right now. But Mike, welcome back.
It's great to be back. I know you just had my old friend and colleague Gary Larrabee on, and I would think he's switching from his putter right now watching the Celtics, because he covered many a Celtics game with me over the years.
I know. You guys have so much experience with that, and so much fun to talk about the past, but also the present here, and I suppose we could get into the future. Mike and Tim, my head is spinning from all those names and scores that Gary just came up with, and it just blows me away. It's amazing.
He can blow you away with the golf. He knows, I think, every golfer from here to South Africa. You know?
And back. So, Mike, where are we? Celtics with a great finish, I would say, to the regular season, would you not?
Yeah, no question. I think they built some confidence going to the playoffs. But, you know, already we've seen in one half of a playoff game, the intensity level has risen about 100%, guys. Tim, if you're watching it all, you're seeing the same thing as I am here. They're playing with a lot more intensity, a lot more even speed. And Joel Embiid, the Celtics, for people who obviously in real time here we're talking, right, Rick? So that the Celtics are ahead 55-49 at the half over Philadelphia here in game one. And Embiid is doing everything we thought he would, which is mean he's dominating the Celtics' big men inside. He had like 9 or 11 points in the first quarter. He has 9 rebounds at the half. But on the other side, what we're seeing, and Tim, I want to get your comment on this, Al Horford cannot guard anybody. He's trying to guard Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum has 21 points at the half, 8 rebounds. And I want to make this quick comment about Al Horford, a great player with Boston, certainly a phenomenal teammate. But this year he's having his worst season since 2009. So we're talking his worst season in 11 years. His numbers are down across the board. And so far in game one in the first half, he has 2 points. And he's not playing good defense, and he's always been a good defender. So that's advantage Celtics right there, and we'll see where it leads us over a prolonged 6 or 7 game series.
Yeah, you wonder if the Celts saw some sort of writing on the wall when they said, you know, well, thanks for your time, but we got you when you were a bit older, and now you has the career sort of run its course. In 17 minutes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, which is always a strong point of his as well, and 2 points, which means, one, he's not getting after the glass. And so the Celts have been able to draw him out from underneath the basket where he's a whole lot less effective.
Right, exactly. And, we're seeing Tatum at times blow right by him or whoever else Horford might be guarding. Jaylen Brown is too quick for him, and even Gordon Hayward is too crafty for him. So we're seeing, I think, Al Horford at the age of 34. I think, the Celtics, in some ways, hated to give up his chemistry and his team leadership in the locker room. But he is 34 years old, and Philadelphia committed $109 million to him, and the Celtics weren't about to match that. And good luck to the 76ers with that one. But on the other hand, Embiid is a powerhouse. We'll see how his endurance holds up. Not only in this game, but for the length of a series, because he's not exactly a guy who stays in great shape. So we'll see how that goes. But he has that ability to dominate inside. And Robert Williams was lost on a couple of possessions trying to guard Embiid. And first go-round, Enes Kanter, Brad Stevens could only keep him in there for about two and a half minutes because he was getting eaten alive by Embiid. So that's an interesting situation to watch inside. But overall, the Celtics have the forwards who are kind of dominating play here, certainly between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I believe, Tim, we have 35 points between the two of those guys.
Yeah, I'm looking at 33. You know, the thing about it, he's watching breakdown lane.
Right.
You know, you just don't know when he is going to break down.
Correct, and that could happen within a game or after game three or two or whatever. You just kind of don't know, and you don't know how many minutes he can log. But we're seeing, Tim, well, interestingly enough, how being basketball fans and all the fans who want to watch this game, as soon as Embiid is out of the game, the Celtics are taking it to the hole at will. They're driving to the basket as soon as Embiid sits on the bench, and it doesn't matter whether it's Tatum or Hayward or Kemba Walker or even Tice. They're just taking it straight to the basket, and they're being effective when Embiid is out of the game. So, you know, obviously Brett Brown has that challenge of how many minutes can you play Embiid? And Embiid, of course, is not a guy who can play 40, 41 minutes, I don't think, at least over the long haul.
No, and it's good to see Walker up there with 17 minutes in the first half.
Yeah.
And 3-for-8 shooting, that could be a bit better, but, you know, I think the key for him is being on the floor and being able to move the ball around and give that defense something else to think about.
I completely agree, Tim. Obviously, I think at the beginning of the restart games in Orlando, Florida, we were, you know, Kemba was hurting. He missed a couple of practices, and everyone was wondering, okay, maybe his knee is really chronic injury and he won't be able to play much in the playoffs. But I think what we've seen here in the latter part of the regular season and is the fact that he can play 30, 32 minutes, hopefully. And, you know, the interesting stat that I saw just before the game is Kemba had only participated in his entire career.
Oh, my.
I think it's tonight.
Yeah.
And he's 0 for 11. So, obviously, he was not with a good team in Charlotte. They weren't capable of beating the good teams because they were usually a lower seed playing a good team. Well, you know, Kemba Walker has to have that extra motivation right now, knowing that he's got a chance to win a series and go on and play Toronto and perhaps Milwaukee. And that's a great X factor for the Celtics, the fact that he's just going to be fired up to play and win these playoff games that he never could win before.
Mike,
yeah, you know, I hear that and I think, okay, he still has to keep the body in mind when he goes out there.
Oh,
that
right.
His enthusiasm can actually work against him. So there has to be some sort of controlled enthusiasm on his part.
Right, and I also think, Tim, the coaching staff, Brad Stevens, will let Brad see, hey, he's playing too many minutes. We got to yank him right here for a few minutes. He can keep him around 29 to 31 or 32. He can be a – I wouldn't want to see him playing 34.
Mike.
No, but, you know, you look at walking in at 10, Marcus Smart with – and so in the Smart thing, he's keeping a rotation going where, you know, he's got guys coming in, letting him sit, letting him calm the knee down if there's any kind of tweaking going on, and then getting back out there. So it appears that, you know, just what you said, you know, Brad's got these guys going in there and taking up some time.
Yeah, and I think, too, I think if we look at the box score right now, the Celtics bench has only contributed 4 points. I don't think that, you know, Marcus Smart even took a shot or maybe one shot in 15 minutes. So you have 2 points from Wanamaker and 2 points from somebody else, and I think they're going to have to get more from the bench as this series progresses. But right now, the only thing they're worried about is grabbing a 1-0 lead in the series and putting the burden on Philly. You know, so there's Tatum right now, right off the bat, you know, putting one in a floater up 57-49. So Tatum's having himself a great game. We've said before that he's on the cusp of superstardom, and who knows, maybe this is going to be his forum for expanding that reputation of his ever-growing reputation right now, because he's playing extremely well here in Game 1.
Mike?
Yeah, and the edge for the Celtics against Philly and maybe hopefully a few more teams is you've got, you know, again, Tatum and Brown, who just have the ability to take over a game, and then Hayward is just that, to me, is the dark horse, who can light it up, you know, when you're not probably expecting it. But Tatum and Brown just take the pressure off of Walker in off of the bench, so you don't have to force your offense, but go in there and play the defense that they need when they put you in it, because that's what they're looking for.
Right, exactly. And you know what? You make a great point about Gordon Hayward. He's got that intermediate game that not many players, this is kind of a lost art in the NBA, that NBA mid-range game, a guy who can score from two-point territory, you know, 15 feet out, 16 feet out. Hayward is still very, very good at that. And, you know, he's got some really crafty moves. And he's going to be, like you just alluded to, I think a very big key in this series.
Yeah.
Mike, final question. I want to ask if, and this is a little off. It's not off subject, but it's off of what the exact moment here is.
Sure.
Have you read anything about the psychology of the bubble? Because this is different. This is something totally strange. And, you know, you talk about Tatum and Smart. And they're kids, man. They're used to a different kind of adulation, a different kind of freedom and so on. Have you read anything about the psychology of the bubble?
I mean, I think the teams that established the best records overall in the long run would love to have the advantage of a home court, you know, whether you're the Milwaukee Bucks, who had by far the best record. You know, they would love to be playing a best-of-seven series at home in Milwaukee with the fans behind them, and certainly the Celtics have a good record playing Philly right now. They would love to have the advantage of that, having a seventh game if it was needed in Boston. But you know what? Everybody's in the same boat. And I think players have adapted pretty well. From what I've seen, I haven't seen too much about the psychology of the bubble, but I think basically the players have adapted pretty well to putting up with cardboard cutouts. You know, and I'll tell you what, I was watching the game earlier today, and Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz was a tremendous player, scored 57 points.
Yep.
So thinking the bubble isn't bothering him at all. They lost in overtime, but boy, what a player. And so far, I think the games have been excellent. Obviously, Toronto is definitely going to be a challenger, and they absolutely destroyed the Brooklyn Nets today. And boy, does Brooklyn miss Kyrie Irving? I don't know. I don't think so. You know what I mean? He's a lost cause at this point. He's got so much on his agenda. I mean, he wants to feed the hungry, and and I don't know what he wants to do. And basketball certainly isn't uppermost in his mind.
Well, Mike, this is like March Madness all rolled into one here with the NBA Finals.
It sure is. I mean, it's like games run four times a day.
Yeah.
Not at 1 in the afternoon, and then you have the late game at 9 p.m., and I'm eating this up.
I know. I can tell, and I love the enthusiasm. Hey, you want to do it again next Monday?
Absolutely.
All right.
By then, I will have watched 37 games. Tim, I have a feeling you're going to be the same way, and we'll be able to discuss the nuances of even the ninth player on the Utah Jazz.
I haven't been watching as much as I have been in the past. I might be an eighth. I don't know. But I do go back and I look at the recaps and I look at numbers and I look and I go, who the hell are these guys?
right.
You know, there were so many new names out there. It's like, holy Moses, this is a whole new world of sports.
I know.
Well, next week, Mike, we got to catch up on the familiar names, too, other than the Celtics.
That's right. And, you know, I'm worried about high school sports, guys. I know you guys are, too. We're hoping our local kids get to play. But the deeper we go into August and September, it doesn't look good to me. And I've spoken to some coaches and a couple of ADs, and no one's expressing optimism at this point. I'm hoping that things can turn around a bit, but I'm not optimistic.
Well, I think the thing is, we got to be.
And for everybody's health, I'd rather not see it, quite frankly, Mike.
Yeah, you know, Tim, I tend to agree with you. I hate to see. I mean, we're seeing at the college level, at the Big Ten football players, the parents, they want to sign waivers so that their kids can play college football. The risk of catching COVID-19, they want to accept the responsibility. The parents do. How insane is that notion?
Yeah. You know, the schools that just come out and go, you grant everybody another year, you know, their scholarships are going to be good for another year. You know, you'll have this year to get to go to school. You can finish your degree, and then you can still play football the next year. If you're senior, you get next year.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, I love Notre Dame football. I'd love to see them play, but I'm hoping they don't play.
Yeah. And I still see your Notre Dame hat every time I see you, man. I think of it. one of the millions that you have. Hey, Mike, great talking with you. You stay safe, and then we'll do it again next Monday.
Yeah, you too, guys. You guys stay safe as well, and we can talk about fun and games at our leisure, I hope. You know?
Looking forward to it, man, and enjoy. Enjoy.
Right, you too.
All right, Mike, thank you.
All right, Mike, take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Tim. Thank you.
That is Mike Grenier, who is Salem news writer emeritus, but still reporting, still doing special features and so on. And he's enjoying this, Tim.
Oh, yeah. It's a junkie's dream. You kidding?
Yeah. All right, Coach, any final thoughts here before I let you go?
Well, the Red Sox are losing once again to the Yankees, 3-0.
Yeah. Well.
And so life in Beantown is the same. The Red Sox are winning. We're waiting on the Brewers to start. You know, all is well and good. And the Patriots haven't played a game yet, but they still have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Well, they do. And we'll talk more about that, of course, as time goes on. Tim, great talking with you, man. You be safe. I'll check in with you during the week sometime, try to catch up on other stuff.
All right, maybe we can, walk socially distanced on the boulevard.
Or we could have a meeting in our office at Sylvan Street Grill.
Oh, we could do that, too.
All right. Coach, thank you. Talk to you later.
Okay, Rick.
Take care.
Yeah, bye.
All right, that is Tim Kearns, who is MSO Goodwill Ambassador and Sports Analyst Extraordinaire. So on behalf of Bill Newell and Tim Kearns and Marty Smith and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. And been great fun. Thank you so much to all of our guests tonight, including Winthrop Steel Dunbar, Brian LaFada from Gloucester. He's the athletic director there. Gary Larrabee and, of course, Mike Grenier and Tim. Appreciate it. That'll take care of it. For all those guys, I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsports.com.